as our buildings get older, our infrastructure gets older, the regulatory environment gets more strict and is asking for more engineers and architects, saying, you know what, the code book saying, get an engineer involved on smaller and smaller projects, older and older buildings, just go get an engineer involved. And we want you, private sector, to show us that you and your engineer are complying with our rules.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Seems easy.
Except for we have less and less engineers every year in the U.S. And less architects.
Welcome to the Level Design Podcast, a podcast for architects and engineers who want to thrive in this industry by creating more freedom, fulfillment, and financial security. Join us in uncovering how to restore value and honor to the unique people who choose to be designers and caretakers of our built world, and why it's essential to the future of our society, our industry, and our planet.
Why don't we dive into history for a second?
We've got to do our history. We've got to do our history because that's how we got here. History.
Exactly.
That's how we got into this problem, right?
Exactly. Got to look
if you call it a problem. I mean, U.S. infrastructure is great.
Right.
Let's keep it that way.
Pros and cons. There's things that are moving in the right direction, things that are moving in the wrong direction. And if we kind of reverse engineer and look in the past, we're looking at the 16, you know, I'm not a huge history buff, but I did some research and, you know, I'm not seeing a whole lot different from the previous decade. Not a whole lot of progress as
why?
It pertains.
Are they entrenched at this point, or is everybody just kind of in, okay, this is what we're doing, let's keep doing it?
I think it was just such a weird time. Uh-huh. Maybe people, you know, everyone was kind of in survival mode.
So it's also an odd time. There's a side thing going on in this earliest, and there's some theorists saying it's the first human-made ice age, first human-made global climate change was actually early. They were struggling with very cold winters and survival. That's a side story. It's interesting that we had, when the colonization of the Americas came in, there's theorists that say, look, there is as much as 80 million Native Americans South and North America that died due to European disease. And they had deforested and agriculture of Native Americans. And there's conversation about reforestation. There was so much reforestation after the loss of 80 million indigenous that there was a lot of carbon absorption, and it caused the first human created climate change, because all of a sudden 80 million people very quickly died,
right,
in the Americas due to the colonization disease. And it's interesting, but it was very cold at this time we're talking about, basically.
Yeah.
Very cold.
A huge shock to the earth.
Huge shock. I don't know if that's the reason, but speculative. But anyway, it was very cold. So now let's think about America's, it's very cold, long winters.
Okay.
That's interesting. Well, so it's not unusual to think of it being kind of like not a lot of progress going on.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense.
We're just trying to survive.
Yeah. You know, I see, just to get down to like the details, timber framed houses and buildings became more common, and settlements began to feature more structured town layouts. So you're starting to see actual towns forming.
The natural forests in America, there's just a lot of timber. So right during this era was the very first brick company was in Salem, Massachusetts. So there was only one place, a small brick manufacturer in. So there's no bricks. There's no masonry. There's only wood, right? So yeah, makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Everything's being made out of readily available timber, you know, 100 feet away, there's a tree, right? Have two societies trying to figure out each other out, right? And the power struggle between the two. It gets ugly through the next 200 you could argue even up to today, right?
Yeah.
It's ugly for hundreds of years, this struggle. Yeah. Yeah. So we have no brick. Infrastructure is minimal. Towns are starting to get established along rivers that you can still see today, right? It's an interesting struggle time. Yeah. And it's very cold. Things are tough.
Wow. Yeah. Not a time I would like to go back to. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Sounds rough.
And in comparison, Europe's got infrastructure like crazy. So immigrants are coming from Europe. And of course, and now the slave trade's happening. So people are coming over on what would be vehicle, the sail ship that can navigate the ocean. It's pretty recent, right? Within the last 100 years, it's getting bigger and more efficient. So it's bringing more and more people over, and they're coming over here into a lot of infrastructure, bridges, sewer systems, water systems. I mean, there's, if you're in Europe, you've got wood water systems, wood wow. pipes, right? And brick sewer systems underneath streets. Mm-hmm. You come here, there's nothing. That's an interesting time.
Wow. Yeah. So things are really going to get interesting probably in the next decade or two, as I'm assuming, again, I still have to do my research, but I'm assuming we'll start to bring a lot of that technology over and start playing with new ideas for sewer
not for another 100 years. It wow, stays okay. this way for 100 years. Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. interesting. But we start establishing cities along rivers, so the blueprint of our cities starts to occur in this 100 years.
Damn.
And this is why I wanted to go through this history. Is you might be in your community and go, why is this such a mess down by the river? Because it was literally blueprinted in the 60s, right?
Makes a lot of sense.
So yeah it's interesting. It's how we got here.
That's where it all starts. And we made all of our mistakes.
Hey, I got an interesting tidbit. How many bricks are in the U.S.? And I ran a calculation. It's like 200 quadrillion trillion bricks in this country. It's some. What? It's like 16 zeros.
Oh, my God.
Okay. It's two with 16 zeros after it. It takes roughly one gallon of gas, fluid gas, BTUs. Mm-hmm. To make 25 brick. So they take that 200 divided by 25 and keep those 16 zeros. That's how many gallons of fuel it's taken to build buildings in this country. Oh, that's a big number.
That's wild.
Fossil fuel that we've...
That's wild. And you think about... That's bricks, right?
Just bricks.
So
not concrete. That's just bricks.
And would you say that bricks are kind of a, like, an older phasing out material, or are they still used pretty regularly?
Oh, they're getting phased out, but they're getting replaced by other materials.
Right.
My point is, can we save that brick building rather than tear it down and redo it? Because, wow, we're not, it's not coming back, right?
Yeah.
We can't afford to do that again.
Yeah, that's a lot of fuel, a lot of materials.
Yeah. Kind of fun to think about, or scary. Next 100 years is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
We'll narrow down. We might start going every 5 because things do start getting more interesting. But, and then as we get into modern times, we'll go every month.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot going on.
Because we're
going
to be doing this for a while. So we don't want to run out of runway.
Right. Okay, cool.
All right. So earlier, Scott, you mentioned something that I have some questions about, but basically you said there's some regulatory things that are changing in the engineering world. What are you referring to exactly?
The code industry has become kind of this, its own industry. So in the US, not necessarily other parts of the world, Europe is there too. But I mean, if you went to other parts of the country, this is not the same conversation. But in the United States, it's the code industry, the regulatory industry. So we actually have more employees in government, I think, than we do private sector. So in that move, the regulatory environment, regulating building industry, assuring safety of us. So when we walk in the building, we have confidence it's not going to make us sick or hurt us or fall down on us, or if it catches on fire, we can get out of it. All those criteria become valued in our society, gets reinforced. We look to government to create these laws to assure it in the future and control our building industry. And then we have licensed engineers and architects in the industry, you know, following those rules, and the rules are getting... The group that does the rules has become a business in itself, I'm claiming. I'm just going to say it.
Wow.
Yeah. If you're in that industry and you watch, it's actually very siloed And there's a bunch of people working on constant change and improvement. And they have this way of connecting with the private sector through committees. And they do well at it. But still, it's this giant monster machine creating rules, right? And it's just going. It's its own industry. And what's happening is the industry's, the code book's getting more and more complicated. It's even starting to overlap on itself, going, I don't know, that made sense last year. Let's change it again. I don't know, the one, you know, I don't know that makes sense with the other chapter. You know, they're in conflict. Let's change a word or two. Constant, right? Constant. Okay. So it's as our buildings get older, our infrastructure gets older, the regulatory environment gets more strict and is asking for more engineers and architects, saying, you know what, the code book saying, get an engineer involved on smaller and smaller projects, older and older buildings, just go get an engineer involved. And we want you, private sector, to show us that you and your engineer are complying with our rules.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Seems easy.
Except for we have less and less engineers every year in the U.S. And less architects. The work environment is not attractive anymore to the youth.
Got it. Makes sense.
So we're graduating 70K engineers a year. The latest kind of numbers is over half to almost 2/3 of those young graduates quit within 5 years. Yeah. They don't like the work environment.
Because everyone just wants to be YouTube influencers, content creators.
I don't know. If you're being asked to work 50 hours a week and you get low pay and it's highly stressful, yeah. I don't know if I'd hang out. But, yeah. It, you know, it's tough. It's like, yeah. Why do I do this? I could go, I'm a smart person. I can do almost anything else and do better.
Plenty of other options nowadays.
I'm a smart person. If you can get through engineering and architecture school, you're a smart person.
Looking for a new opportunity? Interested in being part of an expanding network of independent engineers and architects who are thinking differently? Level Design Partners is on a mission to create prosperity for design professionals, the industry, and the world, using innovative business systems and a culture of collaboration. We believe the traditional education and firm structures want you to be a cog in their machine, depriving you of key skills needed to thrive, thus commoditizing an entire industry in the process. Gain access to skills, tools, and systems by partnering with Level Design Partners. Learn more at leveldesignpartners.com.
We got a regulatory environment that says, oh, go get private sector, go get more engineers, and then they go to the pool. And they're not there.
Got it.
What do you do now?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You go overseas is what you're doing, is what we're doing now.
Right.
Wow. And then, so, okay, tell me some downsides of going overseas for that kind of work. Other than, of course, you know, we're not growing locally and supporting local work and business and mines. You know, what are the downsides? I mean, if you don't live here and you're working on the infrastructure, right, then is there a downside to that? Is there upside to that?
Yeah. So the next thing I want to say is this is actually my personal opinion of this, right? And I don't want to be fatalistic about it, but I'm going to sound a little fatalistic about it, is, you know, I talked to some leaders in past software companies 30 years ago, And they didn't take this serious, that foreign countries are developing very smart people. They kind of went ho hum, you know, they'll never be able to overcome us. Well, they did. And you might say, well, the smartphone or the software, so what? That's okay. We all enjoy affordable softwares and affordable phones because of those socioeconomic differences from us. But when we get to the built world of the United States, the buildings, the infrastructures, all of the things that are our conveniences here, and we actually, that happens to us, I'm saying, wait a minute. What happens when global, if you're in the camp of there is global climate change and there is impacts and struggles where people have to migrate and build new cities and new infrastructure to accommodate the migration, if you're in that camp, I don't know that you are, but if you are in that camp, that's a lot of engineering. So if you're in, let's say you're in Asian countries where they're graduating millions of engineers and they're actually working on U.S. projects right now, today, and this happens in a global way, those Asian countries are just those Asians, India, China, those engineers are needed there. And they're going to go, wait a minute, I'm not worried about working in America. I gotta save my interests here at home. And they're going to have the talent pool. And we actually let this happen, and we've got no talent pool. Because you know what? They're not here. There's already a shortage. We lose more engineers and architects every year that goes by in the U.S. through the baby boomers retiring and the youth quitting.
That's so interesting. When things
10 years from now, we got a problem.
Yeah. If things get bad and we go into survival mode, no one's going to be there because we've built it on foreign labor.
The regulatory environment's going to go, private sector, go get this fixed. Here's our taxpayer money. Let's go rebuild bridges. Let's do infrastructure. And the private sector is going to go, we don't have the talent.
Got it. Man, that's a scary thought. And it's strange and it sucks. I mean, obviously that's the negative side. And it makes me kind of miss, like, you know, America has its flaws. The U.S. has done plenty of things wrong. It's also done a lot of things right. Right. When I think of, you know, how this country was built, I do think engineering, infrastructure, construction, you know, cities and skyscrapers and American-made stuff, you know, people working hard, that kind of energy. And I feel like that's slipping through our fingers.
We're not awake to it as citizens, right?
And that's what we talked about last episode, is this disconnect. What are we, you know, we've covered the negative. What are some potential, you know, what's AI going to do? Is AI going to further create this issue, or is there a potential solution in here? What are your thoughts on AI?
Well, the industry is really, really focused on AI for new stuff. So there is this, you know, hey, there's going to be this new efficiency where you aren't going to need as many designers for new stuff because the computer is going to do it. And it's not even around the corner. It's today. We're starting to see this stuff today where we don't have as much, you know, calculator pushing or drafting to do. The computers are really assisting us in that realm.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And a lot of industries may say, well, that's terrible. That's going to take away jobs. In our industry, that might actually be the stopgap we need for new construction. But Miles, we actually have so much existing that's going into aging that we got to get on maintenance, or we're just financially in trouble, economically in trouble. We're going to lose our conveniences. We talked about this. It's, you know, if the bridge is out, or the road is out, or the water main blows up in the street, now your goods are going to be higher priced because you got to go longer travel.
Right.
You know, the commerce starts to slow down in bad infrastructure. And if commerce slows down, then the price of goods goes up. Food, everything.
Yeah.
Not AI. I mean, if a water main breaks, you don't run to your computer and say, how do I fix it? You know?
I would open that up a little bit and say, because I'm shocked every day at what AI can do with the right context, with the right human using it, of course. So yeah, I think we'll be surprised in the not so distant future what it will be able to help us detect or forecast. I mean, a lot of this stuff is foreign to me. I'm not an engineer, but I'm assuming there's going to be a huge technological advancement around the ability to see these older buildings that are starting to age. And you talk about that a lot. It's a huge section of this issue that I feel like we almost need, you know, engineers that just do. Are there engineers that just do older buildings and not new? Is that a part of the industry? How does that work?
It is part of the industry, but of course here at Level, that's kind of our purpose, is to save and maintain what we have. We think that's the future work for us. But of course, you know, there's a romance about building something new.
Yeah.
Not taking something old and maintaining it. So there's not a lot of us that do that in percentage wise, but yeah, it is a unique specialty.
that needs to be talked about more, and people need to go into that. That's got to be a rewarding feeling. The trickle down effect of, you know, finding out if a building is healthy or not, how long it has, and how to bring it back to life. Mm-hmm. There's so much fulfillment in that, I would assume. And yeah, we need more of
for
that.
For some, I was just talking to an architect yesterday about this, and they were upset with, I don't want to work on these things. I want to create new things. That's what excites me. And I'm like, right. I don't know what to say, because you're getting replaced by AI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're going to tell a machine, go, hey, give me 3,000 square feet on a 5,000 square foot lot for business multi, and give it to me three stories.
Yeah.
And it's going to spit it out in minutes, and you're going to go, not creative enough. Make it more creative.
Got it.
No, don't like it. Make it more modern. And the computer is going to do it.
Yeah.
Or give me a bigger conference room or a bigger meeting room for 100. It'll do it. I'm like, the future for you guys is actually kind of going away in that.
So what I'm hearing that kind of excites me actually is that there's more job stability in working on existing buildings.
I believe so.
Interesting.
And infrastructure and water mains and sewer plants.
Of course.
And environment, you know, these environmental engineering positions where we're looking at our rivers and actually getting them clean, finding our polluters, solving nature's, you know, where are we destroying nature in our ecosystems? Environmental engineering is going to be huge. We can start tweaking, you know, our human impact on nature and actually go, oh, there's a problem here that nature is suffering. We can restore it. We can bring it back. You know, that's just really going to be the work.
Man, Scott, this is really cool, because I'm thinking, you know, if I'm a young engineer and I'm passionate about this topic and I go in and I start working on little projects, and, you know, throughout my career, I work on hundreds of projects, thousands of projects. And if I'm able to track that almost like a portfolio and have the data to say, you know, there's probably plenty of formulas out there where you can kind of reverse engineer the environmental impact that you've had just by working on projects, not to mention the, you know, there's potential, this might be a stretch, but potential lives saved because you worked on buildings that were aging out, or the money you've saved for the economy. It's like, you know, there's so many cool things you can play with there that are really exciting, even though they're not new. You know, there's no plan. There's no planet B. It's kind of like when, you know, I know humans are trying to go to space, and I get it. But also, like, we have an incredible planet. We're never going to be able to find another Earth, you know?
No. I would charge academia to stop looking at it one dimensionally. Your architectural schools, your engineering schools, everything is about new, right? When are we going to start talking about reuse, recreation, and not having to make 16-0 number of bricks again? When we know damn good and well that'll kill the planet. So when is academia going to start making that excited learning?
Great question.
You know, mechanical, electrical systems. You know, when are we going to actually start making mechanical engineering not about new stuff, but actually how can we make an existing building efficient and green?
Yeah.
You know, well, where are those courses? There's not enough of them. They're out there, but it's not basic courses. So, well, yeah.
I love this conversation. I think we stumbled across, or I stumbled across, because obviously this stuff rattles around your brain every day, but I had a couple aha moments, and I'm excited to keep going and pushing down this road to see. Obviously, it's easy to talk about some negatives. There's plenty of positives in there.
Oh my God, there's so many positives. It's just crazy.
We'll keep chipping away at this for the next few episodes with some exciting updates and new guests and new formats that are coming very soon. So thank you, Scott. I'll see you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Miles.
Thanks for listening. If you found value in this episode, support us by sharing it with someone or leaving a review. In upcoming episodes, we'll discuss the realities of the industry today and what the future may look like. It's our belief that positive changes for architects and engineers is not the obligation of the industry, but rather a choice you make to reimagine how we work together. We invite you to join us in creating a world in which design professionals thrive. Learn about our mission and get involved by following us wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribing to our newsletter at leveldesignpartners.com.